These two verses, we're going to note the context, where it's found in the book and in the chapter, and make some couple of observations, and define some words and make some applications for us today. So the context of Romans 13, where is Romans 13 found in the book of Romans? When we take an overall look at the book of Romans, we know that the author is the Apostle Paul, and it is an absolute treasure trove of Christian doctrine and fundamental truths. The Apostle Paul would always gives his doctrine first, and then the application of that doctrine in our life. Romans 13 is found in the application portion of the book of Romans. Our memory verses are found in chapter 13, and chapter 13 deals with how Christians today are to deal with everyday, or how we are to act or our conduct in everyday, with dealing with everyday things such as government and our neighbors. Chapter 13, 1 through 7, talks about how we are to deal with the government in our lives. And then verses 8 through 14 talks about how we are to live amongst our neighbors. So please turn to Romans 13 if you're not already there, and follow along as I read, starting in verse 8. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any commandment, all are summed up by this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, and loot, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. First thing I'd like to do is, I'd like to make an observation is, the Apostle Paul is using the word us. Here, let us walk properly. Paul is talking to believers. He's talking to you and me as saved individuals. If you are not saved, these verses do not apply to you. How can I say this? If we look at the first part of verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a believer can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other verses that need to be applied in your life before Romans 13, 13 and 14. Verses such as Acts 16, 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The reason you need to be saved is because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sin in thought, word, and deed, then the big problem is the end result of our sins is death. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So based on this, sin earns you death. Death means separation. Ultimately, this separation is realized, being eternally separated from a righteous, holy God in a place called hell. People deal with this truth in many different ways. One of the ways is to subscribe to a list of do's and don'ts, thinking that by doing the best they can somehow please God and He'll let them into heaven. This is not going to work, because Isaiah 64:6 says, But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. There's nothing that you can do yourself to get out of this jam. You need a Savior. This is the bad news of the Bible. The Bible does not stop here, though, and it gives us the good news. The word that means good news of the Bible is the word gospel. And what is the good news or the gospel found in the Bible? It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see from Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." It is the gospel that saves you from hell. In a nutshell, the good news of the gospel of Christ is for John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved you and me so much that he came up with the plan of salvation. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When Christ died for us, he paid the penalty for the sins for you and me. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." When Christ died on the cross, he paid our penalty, and God accepted his penalty on your behalf. And in order to receive the gift of God, eternal life, all you have to do is believe. For he is the only one capable of taking care of that penalty, and he got the job done. You know, God is satisfied and always will be satisfied with the payment that Christ made on your behalf. The question is are you? 1 John 2:2 says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the whole world." Are you satisfied with that payment that Christ has made for you? Putting 100% of your trust in Christ and who Christ is and what he accomplished saves you from an eternal separation from God to eternal life. Once these truths are true in your life, then you are now and forever saved. And these verses we studying tonight, Romans 13:13-14, can be applied in your life. So what does the Apostle Paul have to say to the believers? The believer is to conduct their life in an honest, decent way. Romans verse 13 says, "Let us walk properly as in the day." So we can see that the believer is to conduct their life in an honest, decent way. The word "walk" there is another word for that can be conduct or behave or your way of life. This is why the King James Version says, part of verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day." NIV says, "Let us behave decently as in the daytime." The next phrase, "as in the day," means literally day versus night. It's the lighted part of a 24-hour period. There's a saying that goes that there's a time and place for anything. We expect this and we know this in our society. During the day, we expect others and ourselves to be up, responsible, working, sober, and getting along to a certain extent. During the night, when nighttime activities such as partying, drunkenness, lewdness, and fighting and envy spill over into daylight hours, we frown upon this. There's a time and place for that. If you're getting drunk Monday at noon, you have a problem. Friday night at midnight, no problem, right? That's okay Friday, Saturday night, or whenever, but if it's Tuesday afternoon, then we label these people as issues or they have problems. It's not so much what they're doing, it's the time that they're doing it. And we see as believers, we are to conduct our life as if we're in the daylight hours. And to show a contrast what this conduct to eat is to be, he lists specific behaviors and attitudes that we are not to do. As you can see, these are going to all be associated with nighttime hours. Well, let's take a look at the list. These are not to be part of a believer's life, or walk, or conduct. Reveille, noisy, which means noisy partying or merrymaking. The next one he lists is drunkenness. It's a state of inebriation induced by the ingestion of way too much alcohol, or it's an habitual excessive use of alcohol. I like how the Apostle Paul puts these together, because they do kind of go together. Nobody says, hey, let's run down to the store and pick up a 12-pack of H2O and get wild and noisy, right? Noisy partying and drunkenness go together. The next one is lewdness. It's the word lewdness. Now, this is defined as sexually unchaste or licentious. It's lacking legal or moral restraints. It can be considered obscene or vulgar. This is, to me, this is the partying and the drinking. The moral restraints become less and less. And usually it expresses itself in sexually licentious and vulgar activities. The next one we see is lusts. And these are pleasures or delights or intense longings. Again, as the moral restraints go away, you can usually a person's lusts come out loud and clear. The last two, strife. Defined as bitter, sometimes violent conflict or dissension. It's an act of contention. And finally, envy is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. These are not to be part of what defines you as a believer. And if someone can come up and define you as a party animal, as a drunk, as a pervert, a hothead, angry or green with envy, you are not conducting your life in the way you should. These are the works of the flesh and not of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and here we go, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I highlighted in yellow the very things that we were talking about in Romans 13. Thankfully, the Apostle Paul goes on and starts in verse 14, and he says, we are not to do this. This is not a proper walk, but a proper walk is accompanied by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to having a lifestyle or a conduct of those six things, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So how is this accomplished? How do we do this? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Knowing this, that your old man, the flesh, was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Okay, sorry. So, again, verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to the sin nature / flesh. The next thing that how we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Please, on our way back to Romans 13, please stop at Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The third thing, while we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, is setting your mind on things that are above. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, and if you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things in the earth. For you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. We drop down. Because of these things, the wrath, okay, in which you, alright, hang on. Verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And we can, when we do these things, and we can reckon or consider ourselves, I like the way I looked up the word consider, and it's defined as to think about something with the idea of, you think about something with the idea of acting upon that. There's there's action involved with it. Sorry. No. If we can, yes, we consider ourselves dead to the sin nature, we won't listen to what it's saying, although it's saying it over and over and louder and louder. As long as we live in these bodies, we're going to have to deal with the flesh and its lusts. The difference is now we don't have as saved people. We don't have to listen to it. We are no longer slaves to the dictate of the sin nature. Presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is having the correct attitude that will be used by God for God, for the glory of God. We can be used to accomplish the will of God in our lives, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Knowing our heavenly position and thinking on things that are heavenly and eternal nature will change our priorities. So when a strong desire pops up in your thinking, we can identify it. because our minds are being transferred by the renewing of our mind, and we can compare it to that which is eternal and heavenly, and knowing the source of that strong desire, we consider ourselves dead to that flesh, and at that moment we can make the right decision and move out based on that decision. Romans 13:14, the last part of the verse says, and do not make provision. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The word provision there is carries the idea of forethought or foresight. I like it's to know and think about something in advance and make a decision beforehand. One of the ways it was defined is a measure taken beforehand to deal with a need. Darby translates it, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, I was thinking about these and meditating on these verses, and as a young man, though I was saved at a young age, I was in my high school, and I had no problems in my flesh, just the way I was. So the first part of verse 13 was, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not a problem, not in drunkenness, not a problem, not in lewdness, not a problem. Lust, but strife and envy was a serious problem for me. And the reason was I could, just the way I was wired and the way things were in my life at that time, that didn't bother me, but I was not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And luckily for me, I was able to, luckily or unluckily, I played hockey. So I was able to strife or have a fight at least once a week within the confines of a hockey rink. So I kind of got that out of my system for a year. So I led my hockey team in penalty minutes every single year I played. So lots of strife, lots of fighting. Envy, I thought I did a pretty good job of keeping under wraps, but I was extremely envious of other people and what they had, or I thought they had a better life. So, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not take forethought or do not provision for the flesh. And as a believer, we can check off the list and know, well, we don't do this and we don't do that. But if you don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ and what that's involved with, there's something even on this very short list, let alone the list of the works of the flesh, that will come up and bite you somehow, some way. So I just thought that was kind of interesting that even though I was saved, and again, of the six things listed here, three or four of them I had no problem with, just the way I was, but they're very envious and very, very strifeful, if that's even a word. I fought a lot. But again, so I thought that was, personally, it was very eye-opening to me as I thought about this. As we get back to our text, review Romans 13:13-14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We can see from Romans 13:13-14 that we see how the believers to conduct their life, and that is properly. We see a list of examples of what we are not to, that is not proper for the believer, and we are told how to go about living properly as in the daytime. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ by reckoning ourselves dead to the sin nature, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices in light of the mercies of God, thinking on things above. And the next easy logical step is making no provision for the fill of its lusts. This is how we as believers can walk properly. So, and that's it.